They think they're smart, but what do they know? It's Hector and Krish, the pedestrian show.
They changed their name just for you, but what do they know? They still got sued.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, it's the one without a review.
Their friends make jokes at their expense, but the biggest laughs on the audience.
So sit right back, grab a beer, you're gonna need it, Shreether is here.
The pedestrians, download Stitcher iTunes. The pedestrians, won't you leave a review?
Hey, thanks for downloading another episode of the Podestrian Podcast. This is episode 39, in the second half of our conversation with our friends Dan and Jesh, recorded on January 23rd, 2018. I know, it's been a while, but they're coming out. We also have a live show coming up this Friday at 7 p.m. at 2081 Mission Street, where you can catch your funny improvisers, and all you Shreether heads out there can catch Shreether doing his Shreether stuff. Really appreciate all your support, and if you like us, please like us on Facebook, please leave comments on iTunes, please follow us on Twitter at The Real Podestrians, and thanks so much. See you soon. Bye.
Check, check, check,
check,
check,
check, check, check.
Yeah, we're back on. Yeah,
you ready to get started again? Another half an hour?
All right, yeah.
And then, or maybe 25 minutes or so? Like,
oh, I heard it.
Let us know when you need to leave.
Yeah, around 8:30.
Okay, yeah, cool.
I just have to be able to walk to StageWorks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So don't drink too many of those, then you won't be able to walk to StageWorks.
Drinking more when I get there.
I don't do a show IPA or that last Negro.
Sober. I don't know how you do that show sober.
Which show?
Birth Defects.
Wait, are you doing?
Oh, you're playing all the characters.
Yeah.
You know.
plug the show that's tonight.
Well, no, you go to the Endgame sketch company. You go take that time travel show, travel back to tonight.
You see me do birth facts.
February, no, it's January. It's
January 23rd,
2018, Tuesday. Travel back to 9 p.m. at StageWorks. You can catch Birth Defects.
Or go to Mission and 22nd and come. You know, watch us record what you're listening to right now.
Yeah, that's right. To Christian's apartment in Moira.
What if somebody just appeared in the corner right now?
That would be incredible.
I feel like this episode is going backwards. We're starting with the plugs, and then we're kind of going to slowly go in. We haven't even introduced ourselves, so we're just going to kind of like.
We'll introduce at the end. That's like that's the memento thing.
Yeah.
Teddy G. You're going to do your one man show.
Yes.
I think one of the things that, like, you know, Dan, you're an improv hero of mine. I know this is going to make you feel uncomfortable.
So yes, it
I
will. Make apologize. Feel uncomfortable.
But one of the, I remember, like, the first time when I was still learning improv, it was like watching you do your one man improv set was like incredible, you know. And but it's also like it's always like I'm like it looks like anyone could do it, right? Like, why can't, you know, like, you're never ever gonna, like, fuck up because, you know, like, the other person, you're not dealing with another person. You're not dealing with a terrible improviser. You're dealing with yourself. But I can't imagine doing it. I can't imagine playing different characters at the same time and, like, you know, being one scene together.
Yeah, it is, like, just masturbation, though. Like, it's just me playing with myself on stage.
Yeah.
Like, it's not anything. I think the really only hurdle that I had to overcome, that I think anyone doing it has to overcome, is, like, not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because if you're starting to think about, like, your choices and your show, then it's difficult to get at. You're, like, you're already having to do a show in your head, and now all of a sudden you're having these other thoughts. I really think the only thing to overcome is just second guessing anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw you, I remember you did like a murder.
Oh yeah, it was a noir.
Oh,
No, I did both of them. I've done a film noir before, and I did the murder mystery that had like the singing in it, like the rap song.
I don't remember if it had a rap song, but yeah, I remember you did a murder mystery, and that's like a very genre specific thing where like you. Like, I mean, usually you need certain elements of, like, that genre. Like, that for me is like, well, how do you keep track of that? I mean, especially a murder mystery where it's a mystery. Like, you're still trying to figure out who the killer is. There's, like, a well-written mystery is so intricate and, like, so, like, developed, you know? And, like, to do that as an improv.
Well, so I always do genres of film because I watch a lot of movies, as Jesh can... I had to introduce him to a lot of
movies that I've never seen. Yeah, I grew up not watching any movies, and Dan's kind of furthered my education.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
So I always just do it as a movie genre and then play that way. And yeah, it's a little bit like you just jump to the tropes and the scenes that you know are supposed to exist.
Yeah.
But I never worry about finishing it.
Right, okay.
If I worry about finishing it, then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like, you have to have that, like, beautiful, like...
Yeah, they'll pull the lights when they want to pull the lights, as long as it's good the whole way, you know.
As long as we're sharing Dan memories, I was remembering you and Christina used to do Classy Pants, and there would be all these awesome sketches, and I still remember this one. I think you were a snake, and...
Oh, hip-hop snake.
Yeah, that was... I still laugh about that
one. I love that one.
That was amazing, yeah.
My favorite was still, like, speaking of time travel, was the Back to the Future sketch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You did that at a Short-Lived, right?
we did it at, we did it, like, several times. I don't remember. We did Short-Lived, we did.
You did the same sketch over and over again. It wasn't necessarily a time.
Yeah, that was the Haunted Hotel that we did.
Wait, can we describe the sketch?
It's,
which one?
It's the same sketch, but they're like they're detours. Like there's like the same sketch happens multiple times, and like the ending changes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. For the Haunted Hotel one, yeah.
Okay.
Then for the Back to the Future one, it just turns out that time travel causes Parkinson's. It was one of those sketches that when we were thinking about putting in the show, we're like, let's see how this goes, and it always got a very positive. Never got laughs, always got a very positive groan, but like from the entire audience, like was so in on it.
It should be said that you guys, all three of you were in a sketch group together, right? Like when you guys,
it was like about a year.
I feel like
a new show every month.
It was sort of like a precursor to the Endgame sketch competition, right? Short-lived.
Called The Examine Life.
Examine Life. That's right. And the premise of that was that someone would sort of deliver a monologue or excerpts of, or maybe like, it felt, what's that thing that you write about your life? Not a,
like autobiographical. It was like,
yeah, it's slightly.
Memoir.
Memoir, thank you. It felt like a memoir, like short excerpts of a memoir. And or memoir, and then we would see sketches.
Memoir.
Sorry, sometimes I'm not sure if it's memoir or memoir. But we would see short excerpts from that.
And then we do sketches around that.
That's right.
We did I think 11 shows of that. One a new one every month.
That's right. And
then
we did
a 12th show, right, for the one.
Oh, then we did a 12th.
When
Dan was
going
to go to L.A.
Yeah. Hey, that show is still true. Still is true. I am going to L.A.
Dan did a going away show
after
his divorce, right after he moved in with me. We had a whole show sending him off to L.A., and then he didn't leave.
I am leaving. Moving is a process. It takes time.
You're a half.
I'm glad
you told me you were going to move in for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's been a year and a half now.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm moving out.
Okay.
Dan's
moving
out.
I believe it when I see it.
check my room. There's boxes full.
But in that time, you've nurtured cats. Jesh, you've gotten an education in cinema.
Yes.
Roadhouse.
We watched Roadhouse twice because I didn't quite get it the first time.
I've never seen Roadhouse
Let's go watch it a third time.
Yeah.
I've never seen Roadhouse. I've never seen Over the Top.
Oh, I have both of those.
I've never seen Over the Top.
Well, we will watch
that
before I leave.
I've never seen Over the Top.
When you leave this weekend,
I'll be around a little bit next week.
Okay.
Just a tiny bit during the early part of the week.
I mean, if it it's possible to schedule, I would love a tutorial in Over the Top.
Oh, right. Oh, that's so great.
Maybe we should have this podcast during watching the movie.
Oh, that would be a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut now, and then when you hear us next, we'll be all watching.
In a moment, we're
going to
be
top.
Drunk watching.
Yeah, we'll be recording on our iPhones.
I would say, though, I would like to say, though, that the Exam in Life was by far my favorite experience.
Really?
I loved the Exam in Life. It was really intense because you were pitching sketches. I could only imagine what SNL must be like because they do all that in a week. And we were doing that in a month, and it was an intense experience.
Now,
yeah.
To be fair, they do have a lot of writers and crew members.
And they're full-time.
And they're full-time paid.
They have a separate pool of actors. Yeah.
And there's a lot of the sketches are just character sketches, too. So, like, you don't really need a premise, right? Like, it's characters that they... Like,
they do both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do both.
Yeah. But, like, there's that as well.
Well, in the Exam in Life, one of the things I liked about the format is we had kind of the character segments, which would be, like, a character walk on and interact with the person telling their memoir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And then you'd have the other sketches that were just interruptions of the memoir.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's that format and like doing it a different show every month. I like, obviously, like when it's the best it can be, it's great. But I like a little bit of messy, and that show couldn't help but be a little bit messy because you only had one go at it.
Yeah.
Only one chance. And we only had one rehearsal, right? We had to have one rehearsal.
Oh, that's good.
Other than right before the show, we would always do a full run through real quick.
Did you guys ever feel like there were improvised parts that you just kind of improvise if you forgot lines? Or
people were pretty good at memorizing lines. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were usually pretty on book. I mean, if we'd sometimes people would forget lines.
Yeah.
And when people forgot lines, we would improvise and fill in the gaps. I felt like everyone was very good at taking that in stride.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think like I had that sketch experience, and there's Nap Time where it's a lot of it's like you're doing the same shot like multiple times, and you're like shooting the sketch. You have multiple takes.
You're talking about videos,
like videos versus like staged sketch, and it's like such a different experience because you don't know which take of your like which take in the sketch is actually going to become part of.
Which I imagine. I mean, I think that's the thing about film is like a lot of it is done in the editing room. Like a lot of that film is made in the editing room, and so like it's sometimes if you think about like, oh man, this like really poignant scene where like the actor is like seems to be, you know, like giving this like very like moving speech, but like you see a lot of these cuts, it's probably taken from multiple takes, you know, and like that's
not only that like, you know, the reasons for choosing a particular take might not just be because of the quality of that performance in that take. There could be other reasons.
Yeah, it could be like, oh, the lighting was just perfect.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah. And so it might not be the best.
You're also not getting any, for better or worse, you're not getting any feedback. Like, you don't, from the audience. Like, you don't feel like when a line's missed, you don't feel that heavy feeling of like, oh man, I thought that was going to kill.
Yeah.
But also, when you get a line that kills, you don't get any of that energy burst.
Yeah.
You're always just doing takes and trying to keep your focus. Where it's like, I do like the onstage thing, just getting that live moment feedback of like, yep, that worked. Great. I love it.
Yeah. I think, live performance, there's nothing quite as exhilarating as that. I mean, I don't know. I've never like bungee jumped or anything like that. But like, if it is like...
Wait, should we stop this now? I'll go bungee jumping. When we get back up, we'll be in mid-air.
Okay, cut now.
Okay. We're back. We just went bungee jumping. What do you think, Hector?
I pissed myself. And when I pissed myself, it went into my mouth.
Have you ever pissed yourself on stage?
I've never pissed myself on stage.
Bungee jumping is better than being in front of a live audience. More exhilarating.
You think it's more exhilarating?
No, according to this, you never pissed yourself in front of a live audience.
Oh, yeah. Well, pissing myself is not a good thing.
That's a measure of exhilaration.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, my urethra sphincter was
sphincter?
Yeah, maybe not sphincter. I should know better.
Did you poop yourself as well?
Yeah, I also pooped myself and it went in my mouth.
All right, going back to talking about live theater.
We were just talking about live theater. This episode is sponsored by sphincters.
Sphincters, the Sphinx in Egypt. The mystery.
Wait, is the Sphinx? Is that a you want to get through a sphincter and you have to answer some riddles?
That's right. Yeah. Every time you use the. Why do we keep talking about poop in our poops and farts keep coming up. Yeah. But yes, every time you need to take a poop, your feces needs to answer three questions.
I wish Guy Fieri had his own brand of adult diapers that was like, you're now exiting Flavortown.
Have you ever been there? Have you ever?
It just closed down, right?
It just closed down. Flavortown?
Yeah, the New York Times had this
Wait, the one in New York in Times Square?
The one in Times Square closed down. New York Times had this like celebratory article just like shitting on the restaurant, like being so happy, like a victory lap article about the fact that it was closing down.
Oh, come on. Who cares? I mean, Times Square is like, you know, it's whatever. It's,
yeah.
I feel like it belongs in Times Square, you know.
Oh, because it is so kitsch? Or
yeah, I feel like that it belongs in Times Square. Yeah.
I don't know what this thing is that you're talking about.
You know who Guy Fieri is, right?
Yes.
Okay, he started a restaurant that was in Times Square. It got horrible reviews. Everyone hates the place.
But everyone loves going there, ironically.
But all of Times Square is... It is Olive Gardens and TGI Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
When I went there back in my married days, Jess really wanted to eat at the TGI Fridays in Times Square. Like, it was like,
what?
She likes TGI Friday. She loves the Jack Daniel's chicken. And even though she was like, I realize this, but like, we have to go. So we went, and it was like the most insanely expensive crap meal. Like, did it? We did it. And it was, but it was like, it was. I don't think I've ever spent more than like $40 at a TGI Fridays in my entire life for like cheap people's meals. Mm-hmm. It was like $100+.
Whoa.
Yeah, because it is Times Square prices at a TGI Friday.
That's like the Denny's that's right by Powell Bart. It's like crazy expensive, and you're like, you're basically paying a lot of money for shitty Denny's food.
Yeah, because it's a recognizable name near in a big stop area.
There's a Denny's by Powell's Bart.
Yeah, and it's
Right by the theaters.
Huh?
Right by the one that's right by the theaters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a Denny's there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of up. Go the other way.
Yeah. It's you know where the Bloomingdale's entrance is to the Westfield?
Krish, I'm not that rich.
okay, let me help you, Hector. Do you know where the Nordstrom's entrance is?
No. Yes. Actually, let me help all of you because I think, you know where the Target is? That's by Powell?
Yes.
Yeah, it's across the street on the other side.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about now. I honestly just got it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right, there is one.
I can't help myself.
Can I read some of the menu items from is this real? Here's the greatest fakest.
Oh, this is Guy Fieri's restaurant?
Honky Tonky Double Barrel Meat Loaded Blast. Is that a real thing? No. Oh, this is a fake one.
Okay.
Sorry.
I feel like Neil's like on a chalkboard when you said that.
I don't really want fake Guy Fieri.
You want real Guy Fieri.
You want donkey sauce. You want the real deal donkey sauce.
Is that one of them? Donkey sauce?
He's famous for donkey sauce.
He's famous for donkey. That's what
he's
known
for. It's called?
Mm-hmm.
God, this is low res. Sorry, guys. Keep talking.
I do like that. Like, it's like donkey sauce. That's ridiculous. But like ranch dressing is like very normal because it's like in our society, like everybody knows what ranch is. But it's like the name not that much better.
Ranch is American.
And Caesar. Caesar's dressing.
Oh yeah, that's true. Caesar's dressing.
I can give more examples.
A Thousand Islands.
Yeah.
You know what this salad needs? A Thousand Islands. The dressings of a thousand different islands. I want one ingredient. It doesn't even have a thousand ingredients in it.
It's like these islands all have the same like two ingredients.
Well, actually, all the islands just had Thousand Island dressing.
But you know, Thousand Island dressing's good.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
I mean, is it better than just donkey sauce?
Mayo and ketchup. And like dill.
That's it?
It okay, so
well and relish.
Yeah, yeah. So it's relish, mayo, and ketchup. If you mix those three together, it tastes just like
that. Are you saying I can make Thousand Island?
It's not quite the same, but it is so
close. Is it called a Thousand Island because there's a thousand little pieces of dill in it?
Yeah, they handpick.
Yeah, handpick dill from the islands of
fair
dill.
Trade.
Thank you. We are sponsored by Fairtrade organic
relish.
Relish. So it's important. Every picture of the menu of Flavortown is from TripAdvisor. It is basically everything is from someone who visited New York and posted on TripAdvisor about their trip to New York, and they have a picture of Guy Fieri's Flavortown.
I would have totally gone there. Mm-hmm. But I, from what I understand, the reason that it is so shitty is that it says, like, you know, like, super amazing ass blasting mac and cheese, but you get it and it's just mac and cheese. They just put like a catchy name on it.
Oh.
So it sounds like it's this crazy thing and you get it and it's just mac and cheese.
So basically it's just the letdown is from like they oversell everything and it's just, oh, this is just like any other place. Plus it's marked up at Times Square plus Guy Fieri prices.
Did he have anything to do with like the menu itself then, or is it just all like to make money?
It's like if you were going to have sex and you're like, here come the orgasm thrust. And you're like, oh, this is just missionary. Just yeah, like, but I call it the
but
orgasm
thrust. But this is branding.
Thrust.
It's branding, right? Branding. Like, yeah.
Right, but Guy Fieri, I mean, like, he's like known for, like in that one, he'd be like known for having good thrusts, you know? And then.
Well, good thrusts if you're like, you know, like a particular demographic, right? Like.
I mean, he's supposed to be a good.
But he's not cooking. I think if he was here making us food. I have a hard time believing we would not enjoy the food that he made.
You
I
think mean, obviously so? I don't know. I feel like it would be like rich and heavy, and I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah. Do you not see what I look like? That's all I eat.
No.
Well, see, I think the thing is, if it's removed from the price tag, I kind of agree with Dan. Like, it would be a good experience. You'd enjoy it. Maybe you wouldn't feel great afterwards, but like sometimes I go to a restaurant, and I don't feel great afterwards, but I'm enjoying it in the moment.
Yeah. You know,
like there's so much food at that site.
So here's a page from Guy Fieri's menu. You got old school street tacos, and school spelled S-K-O-O-L. You got drunken fish.
Is it because they put skull in it? They put like chewing tobacco. It's old school tacos.
Wait, are you even like
old
dip?
Yeah, instead of like carne asada, they have old dip in there.
And it's like, but it's like every dip has been like in Guy Fieri's mouth. This one is drunken fish tacos, $18. By the way, this is Vegas. This is Vegas's
also time. Though. Insanely expensive for no reason.
Yeah, so, for no reason. Victor's Street Tacos, $17. These are street tacos. Lava Rock Shrimp Tacos, $18. Now we
what
have
was that? The lava rocks in them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we got the Big Bite Burgers. The first burger is the Off the Hook Original Smash Burger, and all of that's hyphenated, and that's $18. there's the Mayor of Flavortown Burger. That is $19.
I'm really hungry right now.
Is yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm gonna cut him a little bit of slack, and I'm gonna say like I would never have like high expectations because these are just
right.
These aren't like it's not a Tom Colicchio restaurant. You're going to a place that has a huge turnover for chefs. They're okay. Not like hiring right. Culinary
but
artists.
But here's the thing: like I get it when you're like a famous personality and you start a new brand to make a lot of money off of it, like. I wouldn't expect Jay-Z to make particularly great black T-shirts.
Yeah.
Yet he sells them for like $100 mm-hmm. each, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. But yeah. he's a good artist and he's a good musician. He's
yeah,
not
he's,
necessarily
he's a business
like,
man.
He's a businessman yeah. as well. But like Guy Fieri is like he's known to be a chef. You think his food? Should
no,
be
here's
good.
I'll keep it with it in the Jay-Z ballpark.
Okay.
Jay-Z is a producer, and now you can't expect all of Jay-Z's the people he produces to be as good at rap as Jay-Z.
I wouldn't expect yeah. that.
Right. So the restaurants that are Guy Fieri's restaurants, he's not cooking. It's not Guy Fieri cooking.
But
it
he
is,
puts his name on it.
He
but
does
also,
put his
Jay-Z
name on it. Jay-Z
put his name
Jay-Z
on the people he
Jay-Z
produces.
As a producer puts his name on those people.
Yeah.
It's like when
but
you
who,
see a movie.
Who's someone Jay-Z produces?
I don't. I'm
Kanye West. He used to.
So does he? Is he called Jay-Z's Kanye West?
It'll no. say on the album produced by Jay-Z.
Yeah,
I guess. But it, but this
Flavortown is not.
Oh, this Flavortown by Guy Fieri.
But the thing is, like, do you think, like, if Guy Fieri,
God,
like,
I hate
if
that
you,
I'm defending Guy Fieri.
Dan Burt, the legal advocate of Guy Fieri. If you went to one of these restaurants and you're like, I'm gonna have the Off the Hook Original Smash Burger, and you had Guy Fieri cooking it, it would be like 100 times better than like a regular line.
I think
line
he
cook.
Would change the recipe.
You think he would make it better?
I think he'd change the recipe if he was gonna cook it for you, because he'd want you to think he was a good cook. But I think
he is a good cook. I mean, he has to be a good cook.
I'm sure he's a good. Like, we're not questioning whether he's a good cook or not.
That's necessarily true.
He's obviously a good cook.
I think it's like somebody that was very talented at something when they were younger.
Yeah.
And then they get to a certain point and they're like, and they get all this recognition for their abilities.
Yeah.
And then they just completely sell out and they get as much money as they can.
But it doesn't mean they forgot how to do it.
Right.
No, no, no. Maybe, but I think part of it's also. You have this person who's sold like so much that they just don't care anymore. Like it's just like
I. But he doesn't care because he's delegated it to other people making it. If he was in your fucking kitchen, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
No. Yes.
Jesh is finished his third beer now.
If he was in your kitchen, he would feel he had a reputation to keep up, and if he'd agreed to cook for you. I think he'd pull
but
it
I
back.
Guess I guess the question
he'd
is
try again.
Do we know that Guy Fieri had a reputation as a good chef?
He would not have all these restaurants if he didn't.
I don't know because sometimes I think you can be like a TV personality without even having talent of like the thing that you're supposedly good at.
But you'd have to be pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. You'd have to be
How
pretty
was he
good.
Discovered like he probably somebody went to one of his restaurants.
Okay,
he was Am a chef. Well, he's from Sacramento, so it's not like people are going to there to look for food. So he must have like been a good cook.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look up Guy Fieri's memoir.
We should do an examined life on this.
Guy Fieri biography.
I just feel like knowing what Flavor Town and that sort of stuff is, like, it's just Chili's.
It is just Chili's.
It's just Chili's.
But Chili's, Chili's got a good song.
By the way, I went to a Tom Colicchio restaurant in New York, and it wasn't like his main one there, like his really big main one. It was like a step down, because me and Jess were very foodie, like, and we went to... That one.
You and Jess were very foodie, hence the TGI Fridays.
Yeah, I know. We're both ends of the spectrum. But we were like, we have to eat it at a Tom Colicchio restaurant.
Right.
And it was like crazy expensive. Not like outrageous like the other one, but like very expensive. And the food was so average. Like we're thinking like, ooh, Tom Colicchio. And this is a place where he handpicked the head chef at this restaurant. Or, you know, when he was ever cooking that night. And it was super average.
Yeah. I feel like food... I feel like we probably had in our lives, in our mediocre, mundane lives, we probably had some of the best foods that exist in the world. You know, like I feel like food, like good food, once it's good food, like it doesn't matter how much better it is. I feel like food is good. You know, like it do you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're basically saying
once it passes that threshold,
there's not a rank ordering at the top.
Yeah, it's like I don't think I'm gonna get like I've had food that's like, oh man, this is so good, and I can see why this is like, you know, this is talent. But I don't think I need to go to Tom Colicchio restaurant necessarily.
I have a theory about food. So I think like, you know how it takes a lot of work to like really appreciate art. Like you don't just like go into a museum and enjoy paintings very necessarily, right? Yeah. Or like enjoy classical music.
I personally
have no idea. And like,
said by somebody who went to the ballet for multiple years.
All right, but like it takes work, right? Like you have to like educate yourself and like figure it out, right?
Yeah, there's some
but we have all these like words about like art, like visual art and stuff to try to help describe it to each other.
Yeah,
I feel
like
food is this thing that like you also to get an appreciation for really like high end food.
Oh, you have to.
You also have to like work at it and like learn about it. And I think maybe like any old person like myself, I go to like a really expensive restaurant. I'm like, this is good, but then I go to like a, I don't know, just like a pretty good restaurant. I'm like, this is just as good.
Yeah.
I can't really tell the difference.
Exactly. I can't, like, I guess it's the same thing with wine. Like, I can't tell the difference between, like, good wine and, like, mediocre wine. But I can understand, like, people who have a more refined palate, like, getting it.
Well, like, I like, there's a place in the Mission that actually I gave you a...
Esper Pinto?
Lolinda.
Lolinda's.
Oh, Lolinda. Okay.
And I love it.
Really,
it's delicious. Now, I don't know that I could taste the difference from a step up from that.
Yeah.
But like going to like Tom Colicchio, I would expect to have like the level, be able to taste the level of Lolinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And better. But it's just like, like I know going to Flavor Town
to you by Lolinda.
It's also by Tom Colicchio. I'm sorry. I mean, like, it's part of it.
I have some of my favorite restaurants in North Beach, and I can tell the difference between those and like Macaroni Grill. And like, I think it's the same difference. Like, I don't necessarily know what the best Italian restaurant is in North Beach or maybe in the world, but I can tell the difference between at least like a nice like Tosca Cafe or like Ideale.
I think macaroni. I mean, like I don't have millions of dollars, so maybe I don't know, but like. I think a macaroni grill is pretty good.
It's okay, but yeah.
I mean, macaroni grill is like a high-end Olive Garden, right?
It's a high-end Olive Garden, yeah. Without all the free... I think so, yeah.
Cheesecake Factory is a high-end macaroni grill.
Cheesecake Factory is not a high-end anything. It has factory in its name.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's... I think it goes Olive Garden, Macaroni Grill, Cheesecake Factory.
Ooh.
I would put Cheesecake Factory and Macaroni Grill on the same level.
Yeah, I think so. I would say so. Yeah. Okay. What about the old spaghetti factory?
Yeah. That's below Olive Garden, right?
I have been forever since I've been there. I don't remember. But you know the thing is, I like the Cheesecake Factory. I like Olive Garden in their own ways when I know that's what I'm going for.
Yeah,
you're paying a different price for that. So like, yes. You're like, if I were somewhere where I like didn't know any of the restaurants, like let's just say I didn't think there's quality. Macaroni Grill is probably the best restaurant in that area. Let's just say you go to like Des Moines, Iowa. I don't know. I expect Macaroni Grill is probably the best restaurant.
What about
in Des Moines,
a Red Lobster?
Huh? Maybe Red Lobster is the best restaurant. I don't know. But it depends on what you're going for.
Which is better, Macaroni Grill or Red Lobster?
In Des Moines, Iowa?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm going to choose Macaroni Grill.
Yeah, and also lobster.
People love Red Lobster.
Yeah, wait, but I think they're probably on par. People love Macaroni Grill. Yeah,
absolutely. You think so? But in San Francisco, Macaroni Grill's not the best, and I think you can get better Italian.
Is there a Macaroni Grill in San Francisco?
There's one in El Cerrito.
Which Target is near?
It's near the El Cerrito Target.
I've been to that one.
Neiman Marcus.
I've been to that one.
Neiman Marcus.
Guys, Guy Fieri was born in Columbus, Ohio, where I grew up.
But he lived in Sacramento.
I
know he's a huge Warriors fan.
Fieri attended University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I don't know if there's anything here that says that he's... Oh, wait, yeah. He had some, like, popular restaurants. So, yes. In Santa Rosa, California, the California Pasta Grill. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
I haven't heard of this story. Yes.
Okay. Roseville, that's Sacramento. His first New York City restaurant, Guy's American Kitchen and Bar, opened in 2012 to scathing New York Times coverage. Is that what Flavortown eventually was?
No, his catchphrase is Flavortown. I don't really know what any of his restaurants are named, so I call them all Flavortown. But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, he was probably great for Santa Rosa or wherever to, like, be able to even, like, afford to open a New York restaurant, right?
That's
so, like,
true.
He's
that's
good.
That's got to be something. That's got to be something. Yeah.
If he was here right now, we would all be
in Flavor.
I mean, he's probably
all in Flavor Town.
In Flavor Town. And with that, welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast.
Welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast. This is a podcast about nothing, hosted by Chris and Hector.
Yeah.
We're here with our favorite guests, Dan and Jesh. Really, we're here just to have a really fun conversation about whatever, maybe food and wine and.
And a bunch of other things.
But before we get started, can we just remind our audience where we can find Jesh and Dan?
Yeah, where can we find you?
Oh, I live in San Francisco.
Excellent. Do you do anything creatively in San Francisco?
Oh yeah, you should all check out ESC Comedy. We have a new YouTube and Facebook channel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We also have three shows, time travel themed sketch comedy shows at Stageworks the first 3 weeks of February.
Great.
And sorry.
And Dan.
I have nothing going on. You can find me on the internet. But I would say my cat Steph Purry's Twitter page, which is just Steph Purry. You should follow him.
That's great. The handle is at Steph Purry.
Yeah,
Steph Purry. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah,
highly recommended. I follow Steph.
Steph great.
Sits on my lap.
Yeah, and I assume Dan that you are managing Steph.
No, Steph does that.
Steph does that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Oh, wonderful.
And Steph has a brother.
Yola Kirtan is his full name.
Yola Kirtan. Is that I don't. Is
it's an Icelandic Christmas character. It's a giant cat that if you do not have an article of clothing, a new article of clothing before Christmas Eve, he will show up and eat you.
Nice, nice. It translates into English as the Yule cat. Yule Kirtan.
And he's roughly 18 pounds. So he's a very large cat.
He's eaten a lot of
Icelandic people.
Yeah, Icelandic
children mainly, right?
It's
more of a children thing.
Well, that's depending on what fable story you read.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Both of you, I want to wish you a bon voyage.
Yes.
Jesh. Goodbye. Farewell. Jesh, you might be going to New York.
Yeah.
I might. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a trip. Mm-hmm. Trip and a half. And Dan, you'll be in LA.
I will be in LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can
probably see me working at the local Trader Joe's or Costco.
Well, we didn't even ask what neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, Highland Park.
Highland Park. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Great. And you know, Jesh, we didn't get into too much into your details. And so
I like to be mysterious.
Well, you're like a mystery novel, murder mystery. And so, but maybe we'll just ask you to come back.
Murder mystery memoir. I'd love to come back.
That'd be wonderful.
Cool. Krish, do you have anything that you want to strike against or? We are still on strike, technically.
We are still on strike.
Yeah.
So these might not get edited.
Yeah. So Writers Union, Porn Actors Guild, we're solidarity.
Solidarity. With that, solidarity, we end the show.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.